As much as any other threat, recognizing and avoiding scams has become a necessary skill for today's retirees to develop. Join us on this episode of Mondays with Matt, where we explore some crucial steps you can take to safeguard your financial well-being against the growing tide of scams and identity theft. Right here on Mondays with Matt, it's the Financial Fortress.
Welcome to Mondays with Matt, with Matt Starkey. Start each week fresh with sound financial advice. Grab your coffee and maybe a pen. It's time to kick off your week with Matt.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the podcast, Mondays with Matt Starkey and myself here to talk investing, finance, and retirement. And the financial fortress is the topic this week on the podcast. Practical strategies, hopefully, for some retirees to, save themselves or protect themselves against some scams and fraud. So we're going to get into a couple of things and just walk through some things that Matt's seen and some information that hopefully will help you out a little bit along the way. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
Hi, Mark. Well, I am staying busy. It's tax season is upon us, and
it is March.
This time of year, a lot of clients are contacting us to make sure they got all their documents or to make those last minute contributions to IRAs, Roth IRAs, simple IRAs, and the like. So yeah, it stays busy, yeah. But we have our ebbs and flows, and so we get a little bit of downtime here and there. So it is. Spring is upon us a little bit, so
that's right.
A little bit early, but you can always count on a late winter storm here in Michigan.
Of course,
A little snow up your nose.
Exactly. Well, Matt, I thought for March we would do what is it? I always forget. Is it March that comes in like a lion and out like a lamb, like or something like that? Or is that May? I always forget. But
March.
Either way, I thought we would kind of do technology as our theme a little bit this month. In March for our podcast. So we're going to do, again, the financial fortress this go around, talking about scams. And then later in the month, I thought we'd kind of keep on with the technology theme conversation of just how things have changed so much in the financial landscape due to technology. Yeah. So we'll kind of make that our theme this month, right? So
that sounds good. It's we would like to always bring new content, fresh content, and not to rehash too many things too many times, but there are some major things that we got to watch out for, and I love the topic of this month's podcast. The first half of the month is, our financial fortress. And, I'm not one to take an overly amount or get too overconfident in your financial positions, but it certainly does help to have that there for security.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to focus today on educating you on how to protect it, because scams and fraud is running rampant.
It's
everywhere
rampant.
You look.
Yeah.
It's getting people. So we're going to talk about those topics today, and we're going to kind of hopefully cue you in as to how to protect yourself and what to watch out for.
For sure. Well, let's kick it off with this example that we've got here, Matt. So I'll let you break this down, but here's this example about it's important to protect yourself by sharing this little anecdote, right? So check this out.
So we've got a news example. Yep.
Yeah.
And Marjorie, a 77-year-old widow, lost her life savings of $660,000 to a tech support scam.
Ouch.
Fraudsters were posing as bank officials. They convinced her to wire funds into cryptocurrency in order to protect it from supposed theft.
Mm.
Now, I've seen ads like this all over the internet. They're saying, hey, the monetary system is changing. Your cash isn't going to be good. You're going to have to go to crypto.
Right.
Or buy gold, and it's like, how is that going to protect my money? So you got to be careful of these types of scams, because we got a lot of clients that are in this age bracket, and there's a ton of new information always coming at us, right?
Yeah, $600,000, $660,000, crazy, right? So you can't recover for something like that, especially at 77. And I think it's something like Americans over 60 lost $3 billion to cyber fraud in 2020, which is staggering.
Yes. Yeah. I've got clients out of our practice here as well that have been targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these email scams that they...
Yep. Phishing, right?
They get an email and it sounds urgent. It sounds important. They threaten harm to your family, and all of a sudden, before you know it, your emotions have taken over.
Yeah,
and you're not using logic at all.
So check this out, folks. So there's a couple different scam angles. So phishing, vishing with a V, and smishing kind of interesting, right? So phishing, you may have heard of. That's typically, as Matt just said, emails and websites trying to steal your data. Think about this one, Matt. This is pretty common, right? You get a message saying that, or an email saying that it's Amazon and that the purchase you made has been delayed because there's issue with your credit card. And so you open it, you know, thinking, oh, okay, because so many people buy on Amazon. But you shouldn't do that, right? Because there's a good chance that it's completely fraudulent and it has nothing to do with it. So when you see an email like that, you should immediately just delete it and then open it, go and actually, you know, log into your actual account on Amazon, not through the link that they send you or through the email, but just, you know, in a browser separately from that. Like I said, delete that email and then double check. And oftentimes, like 9 times out of 10, you find that there's no problem whatsoever. It's a complete email scam.
That's right, Mark. I've had this very thing happen to me, and thankfully I didn't. It came to my work email, and I don't have an Amazon account. My wife does, but I don't have one in my personal name. So I'm like, I had recently ordered something, though, that was in their order. They said like a big screen TV and something to do with a computer, which I had, and I was like, and it says, we have sent this to this third party address. And I'm like, okay, that's a red flag right there.
Indeed.
But if it was true, so I actually got on and called the phone number. There was a guy on there and he wanted me to try to go down to the local Kroger's or Walgreens and buy a purple gift card. And I'm like, and they would refund my money onto the gift card. And I'm like, well, if you charge my credit card, then just charge the card back. And he says, oh, well, I can't do that. We don't have the credit card information that it was charged to charge it back. And I'm like, okay.
Flag.
Yep. Right? If you charged it to my card and reporting to me where you shipped it, you obviously have my card numbers. Therefore, you could return it to my existing card, but I wasn't going to give it to him. Right?
Yep.
Well, I caught him in a fraud, and then I said, okay, so what is it that I ordered again? And he could not tell me what the email said. So there was the second red flag, is he didn't have the accurate information of what was emailed to me. So he tried to wing it, and I said, this is a scam, and he hung up the phone immediately.
Yeah, for sure,
So this, folks, this stuff is super real. It takes you by surprise, and I just thought I'd play along to find out where and how.
Good for you to kind of follow it down a little bit.
Yeah, but they didn't have my personal email information. Mm-hmm. Okay, but one of the things that this phishing—it's like phishing with a V,
right?
It's a phone call trying to get your personal information. I have had clients that have received these and were scared into going out and buying a gift card and calling back, and what happened is they said they were from their bank and that their account was hacked and they told them how much money that they potentially lost. And so they wanted them to create a paper trail. So they said, go buy a gift card. And then I don't know how they did it, but they convinced them to go out and buy a gift card, like $500.
Wow.
Call back with the numbers, give them the numbers on the gift card, go buy another one. Okay, we need you to create a paper trail. And so like they're like, finally, she's like, stop doing this, you know, and then they called. They ended up, long story short, I think they lost several thousand dollars before their family got involved. And their daughter called me and said, hey, can you tell them what's going on here? And we figured it out. They certainly got a scam. So,
yeah, I mean, Matt, and that's a great point, right? Because there's so many of these things. And it's with the technology, you kind of feel like, oh, I need to react to this right away, blah, blah, blah. And so to your point, we did the phishing, the vishing. Well, smishing is the same thing, but it's text, right? SMS, which usually is text messaging. Yeah. Same kind of thing. The whole point is to trick you into revealing your personal data, which winds up leaving you at identity theft issues, financial loss, credit damage, so on and so forth. So let's go through some real life examples of different types of scams that are out there. Run down a few different bullet points for us.
Sure. You got to watch out for these smishing the text messages too, because there's right now with the political.
Big time. Yeah.
You're getting a lot of PACs that have your information. If you've supported any kind of political party in the past, they're texting you to support. If you click on that link, it could be legitimate, but it could be a fraud. You got to pay attention and be very, very careful not to give out your personal information to a text. Okay, so you got government imposters. So sometimes the IRS might even text. You might even have a text from the IRS, which they don't contact you that way. Okay, if you have entered a sweepstakes, be careful about handing out credit card information to sweepstakes companies. Robocallers and phone scams are still going on. They got, now they have AI, so it sounds actually like a real person talking to you. And you got to be careful because it's the, if they're asking you for personal information, name, address, social security, credit card information, as Mark alluded to earlier, don't give it out over the phone. You can go to their site or you can hang up the phone and call the actual 800 number after you've looked it up, because you got to be careful not to lose your money to a scam. Grandparent scam. Okay. So they have these AI generated where grandparents could get a phone call from their grandchildren sounding like your grandchild. And you may or may not recognize the difference if they have an audio clip. So the other big one, Mark, it sounds so goofy, but as we advance in age, we get lonely.
Some
people are doing these romance scams. So if you are communicating by internet, maybe it's another country, or maybe it's even a dating situation, a dating app.
Yeah, I'd love to get to know you better. You know, are you an elderly person like myself? You know, I mean, it's not even elderly. It's just that people of all ages, right? They just try to get you. And half the time, some of the photos on their profile or whatnot are not even of a real person, and or they've just taken someone else's photos and created something.
Yeah, you know what? There is a very legitimate thing, but there's AI-generated photos, and they look as real as can be. So you got to be careful nowadays. Technology has really caused us to be closer together.
Yeah.
It's brought the world closer together, but it's also brought scammers closer to your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. So Good point.
Definitely, if you have any questions, if you think you're getting scammed or even phished here, and you talk to somebody that you know and trust, like your family members.
Yep.
Even give us a call, but be careful about contacting, the IRS. If you ever have any qualms, they mail you. If you think you're getting an audit or they're asking for numbers, don't do it via email. The IRS will always mail you the information. Coming from the financial institutions like who we work with, there is an added layer of protection, and I think this is helpful for our clients to know. But because you're working in an advisor relationship, we have a three-party agreement with the custodian. So if you or a scammer tries to go in and access your account and they don't have accurate information, even if they do, if you want a distribution, but you're working with us through that advisory relationship, the custodian redirects them to go back to your advisor to make that distribution, or go back to your advisor to do this change or an address change. So that's a protection, a layer of protection where we know our clients and we have that, we kind of facilitate that relationship with the custodian, and that should act as a layer of confidence to you that nobody's going to be able to. I mean, I don't say, but I've not heard of anybody getting their investments hacked and stolen through any of our custodians that we use. So they're going to have you go work through your advisor to make a distribution, and that's where we get to know our clients, and you can have confidence that you're not going to just lose all of your investments based on that kind of scenario. So
yeah, definitely. Well, let's run through I got a bunch of things I want to run through, Matt, before we get this episode wrapped up, and I don't want to go too long for folks. So a couple of ways we can better recognize the scams. Let's just go right down a few, just kind of bang, bang, bang. I'll give some, you give some. Is the offer too good to be true, right? I mean, it's a great place to start. It's an old adage. If it's too good to be true, probably is.
Yep. Do the links or attachments in an email look suspicious to you?
Mm-hmm. Just like the email, just like the Amazon thing we talked about, right?
Yeah. Or is there an attachment in HTM? That's a web page instead of like an actual file, like a JPEG as a picture or a PDF as a document.
Right, yeah, good point.
If you get an attachment that is HTM or HTTM, be careful. That's a website, and that will redirect you to a page to enter information. So yeah, that's, be careful about that.
Yep. Are they requesting, unsolicited personal information, right? Like it's just kind of random. Hey, we got this thing and we didn't get your full address or whatever.
Yeah.
So even Facebook, right? When you put those things on there where it says, hey, when did, what was your car in high school? Well, a lot of times the security question for many things is people ask, what did you drive in high school? So don't put that stuff on there either.
Exactly. And since you mentioned Facebook, are they requesting a small amount of money in order to get a large amount of money? Or I've put an ad on Marketplace before just recently, and somebody said, well, I'm going to send my brother to pick it up.
Right.
I'm going to send you the funds. be wary of taking a cashier's check for things that you sell online, because a lot of times they can stop payment on those. And 10 days later, you're out of money and you lost whatever you were selling online. So you got to be careful about that.
Big point. Yeah. And for some of those grandparent scams or romance scams you talked about, poor wording, all right, grammatical errors, you know, a lot of times, especially if these scams are originating in another country, something doesn't look right about the wording, right? It's not the way that an American would speak, you know, or whatever the case is, especially if you're talking about somebody who's saying, oh, we went to high school together or whatever the case is, right? So look for that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, misspellings are a big one too.
Mm-hmm.
Also beware of extortion or blackmail. Those are common techniques that are used to invoke strong emotions for you.
Yep.
Causing you to kind of react quickly with unnecessary actions or divulge information that you weren't prepared to just because you're irritated.
Yeah, or just concerned
or
panic
about something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Checks, especially cashier's checks, should definitely raise your flag. That's probably a scam.
Yeah. I mean, if you got something that you're selling, let's say, even if it's $5,000 to $10,000, you know, I had a vehicle that we sold last year and, you know, they needed to bring $10,000 in lieu of a cashier's check. Or if you call and verify the funds, what I did with this person is they did ask if it was okay, but you can bring cash. But I took the check to a local bank that issued it, and I cashed the check immediately when they drove out of my driveway. They can't stop payment because I went to the same bank that it was issued from. And if that's the case, it doesn't take any time for that check to clear because the funds are there.
Yeah,
it was issued same day and they gave me proof that of the stub that the funds were in the account. That's why I took it. It was issued from a local bank. So I took it right to the bank as soon as they left and I cashed the check right off of their account.
So, there you go. Yeah. And then the last one here is, look, legitimate companies, and you mentioned this earlier, so we won't beat this one up too much, but they're not going to ask you to pay for something in gift cards, right? So if they're like, oh, you know, pay for it with a gift card. And it's like, yes, if you have an Amazon gift card that someone gave to you for a birthday present and you're buying something there, that's one thing. But often it's just not going to be, you know, this, you know, let's credit it back or put it on this or that or the other. So just be careful with some of those. So with all that there, how about beyond spotting those red flags we just mentioned, Matt, some protections, to simple protections we can do. And let's just kind of, you know, bang through these again as well. Starting with your passwords. It's like password crazy world, but create strong ones, unique ones, and change them regularly, folks.
Yes. There are software programs that'll remember all your passwords, but if you don't, create a strong password that like isn't easy to hack. Like 1, 2, 3, avoid putting numbers together.
Right. Don't use your birthday. Don't use your kid's birthday.
Yep. And then you want to monitor bank statements, credit card transactions regularly. I just got done going through credit card transactions to fill out my taxes. And, credit card transaction that was on my credit card all year last year called, it was Amazon monthly shipping thing. It's like a little over $15, but
There you go.
I think I'm out of that money and I cannot tell you what that card transaction was for, but it got charged every single stinking month and I didn't pay attention. So I'm out that $15 a month for that stupid transaction that I don't know what that charge is for.
There you go, right? Speaking of, right, so should you freeze your credit? You know, many advisors, Matt, I talk to say, hey, look, if you're not planning on opening any new lines of credit soon, there's really no reason not to just go in and just put a freeze on that stuff, right? I mean, that's a very solid plan.
Yeah, if you're not, that's freezing your Social Security number, from having any new accounts open that you don't know about. So in the event that you want to eventually open a loan or a line of credit or even a credit card with a local company, you'd have to then call and unfreeze your your Social Security number.
But for a lot of our retirees or people listening, that they're not doing that. They're not buying a house. They're not getting a car. You know, they probably got that stuff lined up. So, I mean, it's not a bad idea to consider, because you typically going to have fraud alerts on your credit card account. But if you're not, and again, why not just freeze it?
Yeah, freeze it. And better safe than sorry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Digital housekeeping also. You want to make sure your antivirus software is up to date in that you know what software you're using. Sometimes you'll get those pop-up ads for additional software. So be wary. Make sure that you have the subscription, and they usually always give you a code you got to put in there. Also avoid using public Wi-Fi before logging into personal.
Yeah, Matt, let's touch on that one real quick. That's a good point. Yeah. I was just at the doctor's office today before we were doing our podcast, and certainly, you know, at the hospital doctor's office, a lot of older folks, right? And they typically all offer some sort of public Wi-Fi in the doc's office because it seems like cell signals are terrible in those places, right?
Yeah.
So they offer public Wi-Fi, and that's fine. You're sitting there because you're stuck an hour and you're bored and you want to kind of scroll through something. But to your point, yeah, don't access anything personal. Don't go checking stuff over those, you know, free office Wi-Fis. Even if it's your doctor and you love your doctor and they're great people or whatever, it's not the point. It's more easily hackable.
Yeah. Anything that's shared, and if it's public and guest, don't log into your personal accounts because there could be somebody just monitoring, watching who's logging on.
Don't go check your bank statement while you're there.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a very good one to highlight there. So
yeah.
Also make sure that you secure your phone. If you have email or any personal information on your phone, make sure you have it with used to be a fingerprint. Now a lot of them you secure it with a passcode.
Yeah, or the swipe design or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and if there's any apps that have personal financial information, make sure that you enable like a two-factor authentication so that. Every time, even if you're logging in online to your accounts, they have to text your phone. So if somebody steals your computer, they can't log into your investment accounts because they have to have your cell phone with them. Get that third factor authentication.
Okay. Well, then finally, we'll just wrap it up with this. What, if you feel like you kind of touched on this earlier, if you feel like you've been a victim or whatever, call the credit services, call your financial advisor, right? And just start to kind of run down the list of things you need to do.
Yes, Mark, absolutely. We've had some clients. I've had about four different clients in the last 6 to 8 months that have called me just to let me know that there's been some suspicious activity or they think they've been defrauded in another line, but they wanted to make me aware. So definitely call us. If you think your information has been compromised, we want to know about it. We'll make a red flag on our end, and we'll be aware that we're not responding to anybody unless it's you specifically.
But exactly.
We generally don't do that anyway. So
yep, exactly.
Definitely get your financial advisor involved.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, if it's egregious enough, call the police, whatever the case is. But hopefully this is some things that kind of helped you out. We had a lot of content here on this one as far as, kind of protecting the financial fortress. So as always, if you've got some questions, need some help, reach out to Matt. And of course, you can find him online at GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. That's GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. You can call him at 989-401-2949 and get yourself onto the calendar and have a conversation for yourself and your retirement journey. And don't forget to subscribe to us here on Mondays with Matt. Matt, thanks for hanging out, buddy.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Go ahead and share this podcast with your friends and family because we want them to be protected, too.
Absolutely, Matt. And don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever podcasting platform app you like to use, like Apple, Spotify, Google, or I guess it's YouTube for everything now. And we'll see you next time here on Mondays with Matt.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.